This morning, our scripture is found in the Gospel according to Matthew and begins in chapter 1 and verses 18, not verses 28, but verses 18 through 24. And this is what Matthew has recorded in the first chapter of his Gospel. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider our text this morning, perhaps we should consider the situation of Joseph and Mary and what it means to be hanging by a slender thread. Hanging by a slender thread. Promises are difficult to live with. They're hard to live with because a promise, if it is a promise that we're really looking forward to, typically raises our hopes that what is promised is actually going to come to pass. It elevates our level of expectations that the person who has made the promise will be faithful. It sets us up to believe that the door has now been opened to the reality that the promise will result in a pleasant, at least sometimes will result in a pleasant and satisfying conclusion. And it also means that promises come with the added baggage of offering hope. And to that end, it means that promises can also be broken, making the promise such a fragile thing. Just as surely as we can raise a person's hopes with a meaningful promise, we can also drop people into the valley of disappointment without so much as a warning if a promise is broken. Somewhere between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, the hope of fulfillment hangs by a slender thread, threatening to unravel right before our eyes. And so in the midst of hope, there is fear. There is fear of disappointment and failure. Somewhere is the ongoing frustration of waiting to see if our hopes will come to fruition or if we will be left dangling by that slender thread, waiting to be dropped off into the valley of disappointment. We would like to think and have faith that the world would not be so cruel. But in fact, if we really listen to Matthew's story, we would acknowledge that hanging by a slender thread may not mean what we think it means. This story by Matthew is offered as an historical record of the circumstances surrounding the issues of how Jesus was born. Not the particulars of the birth itself, but the events that led up to his coming. Matthew has started his record with the familial issues between the Holy Spirit of God, the author of life, Joseph, the apparent hinge on which the future of this story rests, and Mary, an improbable woman child who was simply the recipient of God's promised and intended fulfillment of prophecy. It shows a man, Joseph, who is caught between the tension of doing what was right and proper by religious law and hanging on to the slender thread of hope spun with what was or could have been a delusion of sleep. Mary, on the other hand, is hanging by a slender thread of cultural circumstances. And perhaps that doesn't make any sense to you. There's nothing written in the words of Matthew that would give us any indication of what Mary was facing. And because we've been spoiled by the trappings of cultural advancement, the reality of their lives is lost in the passage of time. But so that we will have some understanding of the nature of what their slender thread was, it may be helpful to know that God was planning to bring this prophecy, this promise by the mouth of Isaiah, and drop it in at the time where the world, Mosaic law, demanded that a woman caught up in adultery should be stoned to death. And though it was almost always answered with a sentence of grace, the threat and the fear and intimidation was real. It's also an historical reality that death has no stranger in the first century of the people of Palestine. Every family was visited by death in one form or another. Infant mortality was high, with 1/3 of the children dying before they reached the age of 6. And rarely did adults live beyond the age of 40. 1/2 of all peasant families in a land such as Palestine could expect during childbearing and rearing years for one or both of their parents to die quietly and quickly. Mary is facing that statistical probability that she and her baby could die at birth, or that the child would die before the age of 6. Joseph could divorce her, not trusting that his dream was anything more than a delusion, causing her to be stoned to death by religious law before the birth of her child. And it's out of these statistical probabilities that the slender thread of hope brought on by God's prophecy was hanging. And I know that we would all like to think that the story was simple, cut and dried by the fact that God is faithful and that with God all things are possible. But there's an important point that we sometimes overlook if we haven't listened to this story. You see, friends, one of the hardest things for us to do in life, one of the hardest things for us to do in life is to wait. Waiting is hard to do because when we have to wait, we're not in control. And we love to be in control. Waiting also places us in the unenviable position of not knowing. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's not the things that we know that keep us anxious, it's the things that we don't know that have us on edge. If we're promised that we'll be taken to dinner, we want to know when. If we're promised that we'll go to the movie, we want to know when. I can remember once as a child, my father that promised that he was going to take my brother and me to the drive-in movie. And believing that we were going to the drive-in hung on our hopes on the slender thread that going to the drive-in also meant stopping by Rosedale Barbecue to pick up a slab. It also meant going to the drive-in meant soda pop and not Kool-Aid. Going to the drive-in meant maybe popcorn. But the promise wasn't a we're going to go now type of promise. It was one of those we'll go when I come back type of promises. And then he left. And when he left, we were forced to wait. And we were left hanging by the slender thread of hope that he would come back. Not just that he would come back, but if he would come back. It's one of those, we want to know where we are in the midst of the promise kind of hopes. Not long before his death, Henri Nouwen, a French theologian, wrote a book in which he described his relationship with a trapeze artist family called the Flying Rudellas. They told Henri that there's a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher when working on a trapeze. He explained that the flyer, the one leaving his trapeze while suspended in midair, must never try to catch the catcher. He explains that as the flyer swings higher and higher above the crowd, the moment comes when he has to let go. And then he must let go and trust. He must let go and wait. He has to wait dangling in midair. And it seems like the wait is interminable. Nevertheless, he has to wait, suspended in air until the catcher reaches out to grab him. He said the flyer must wait with absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. If that waiting, hanging suspended in midair, trusting that someone else will catch you, can play mind games on your hope, can you imagine what it must have been like for the entire Jewish community, much less the world, to have to wait? Can you imagine what it was like to have heard a promise that came through a prophet 700 years previously, only to know that you're still waiting for it to come to pass? Can you imagine what it's like to be Joseph, whose life is now hanging by a slender thread of hope in a dream about angels telling him to ignore the religious laws of his world, to face ridicule and possibly public embarrassment because of a dream? You're looking forward, hanging by a slender thread of hope, that your dream was something more than a dream, and yet never knowing for sure, only walking by faith. And now all you can do is wait. Wait to see if your dream was real or whether it was just your imagination, nothing more than an illusion. It would be months, years before you would really know. And with every pain of her pregnancy growing stronger and throwing fear that the baby could be lost prematurely or that even after the birth there would be no Messiah, at least not one born to your wife. There was so much riding on God's word and Joseph's faithfulness. And that's where once again the word of God catches us napping. You see, brothers and sisters, we've read the story and have gotten so caught up in the looking for the promise of the baby Jesus is coming that we've perhaps missed the most significant part of the story. Has it ever occurred to you that the last verse of our text points to that slender thread by which the world hung and is still hanging? The promise of God was dependent upon Joseph doing what the angel had instructed him to do in a dream. Now we could play with this philosophically and say, well, if Joseph hadn't done it, somebody else would have. And maybe that's true. But it's difficult to imagine that God waited 700 years just to change plans. You see, brothers and sisters, I've learned that God's faithfulness often changes people. It was Joseph's faithfulness that opened the door of opportunity for God's plans and promises to be fulfilled. God was counting on Joseph's faithfulness to fulfill his promise. Joseph was the slender thread on which the fulfillment of God's promises were riding, and that was over 2,000 years ago. Today, the world is still hanging by a slender thread. Only today, that slender thread is not Joseph. It's you and me. Jesus' coming is riding on the faithfulness of people of faith like you and me to live, trusting that who we know Christ to be is not a delusion or a dream, but a reality. God is using us as a slender thread of hope by which the world will come to know Christ. God is using us as the slender thread of hope by which the world will come to love one another. God is using us as the slender thread of hope by which we love one another without condition, embrace each other without concern for our past, and forgive each other for those times when we step on each other's toes. God is using us as a slender thread of hope in which the world learns to trust Christ for their justification. We've become a slender thread of hope by which God has the whole world suspended. And if by some small grace we may adapt the faith of Joseph and live as Christ has taught us to live, then in fact the world may continue to exist in hope. And if by that slender thread of hope which brought us safely into this faith and the celebration of the Christ child, that God has converted our single thread of hope into a strong and trustworthy cord of God's faithfulness. So it is we now who have the opportunity and the ability to turn the slender thread of hope in others into a lifeline of salvation found in Jesus Christ. By simply telling the story, we can wrap people's lives up in the cords of God's love, giving them the hope of eternal life in the one on whom the world's hopes are resting, Jesus Christ. He was then and he is now the hope of the world, suspended by the faithfulness of God, waiting to catch those who are falling without seemingly a hope in the world. Or as one person so wisely said, if you're hanging by a slender thread, you better hope it's the hem of his garment. So hang on to that slender thread of hope, which is faith in Jesus Christ. Hang on to that slender thread of hope, which is God's faithfulness from generation to generation. Hang on to that slender thread of hope, who is Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. And he will take away your slender thread and turn it into a lifeline that leads to eternal life, eternal joy, and eternal peace. That is God's gift to the world as we leave Advent to celebrate God's hope present in the world, our Emmanuel, our God with us. The word of God for people of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.